the verses begin with the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Beth, A, B, Gimel. G. I don't. It's all Greek to me. Okay? Or Hebrew. 40 verses long, 20 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So it's AA, BB, GG. Yeah. It's a wisdom psalm. It speaks comparison, compare, contrast of the righteous with the wicked. So, hey, this is about you. And me too. Yeah, we all fit one way or another, huh? Okay, here we go. Verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. David was looking on at the lives of the wicked, of the evil, and it appears that he was a little envious. And don't you wonder, how do they get away with this stuff? And David, the king of Israel, would have wondered, what's going on here? Because see, in chapters 27 and 28 of Deuteronomy, this is homework for y'all. 27 and 28, there will be a test. Hey, I was wrong on Asa Bara. I got to tell you about that. Got it twisted. There will be a test. Okay? You really ought to read it. See, in 27 and 28 of Deuteronomy, the children of Israel are poised right there at the Jordan. They're ready to come in to the promised land. As they come in to the promised land, there was blessings and there was also curses. God told them, he promised to bless them if they would follow him. He tells them that your crops won't fail, that your crops will flourish and your flocks would thrive if they just followed him. He told the nation Israel, look, you will be victorious in battle. Your enemies will flee from before you if you just follow me. He said, you will be a prosperous nation. They would have prosperity if they just followed him. And he told them, all the other nations would be envious of you for his name's sake. But he told them that if they didn't, they would suffer drought, pestilence, their crops would fail, their livestock. Their enemies would come into their borders and they would be defeated in battle. The prosperity of the nation would be taken away. Instead of everyone being envious of them, they would become a byword, a derision among the nations. And the nations would say all of this has happened to them because they rejected their God. You got to read 27 and 28 of Deuteronomy. And if it doesn't parallel this nation, come and clue me in, okay? 1964 Vietnam War. We didn't lose a war before Vietnam. Never lost a war? What happened in the 60s? Prayer kicked out. 72, fall of Saigon. We lost the war. What happened in 1972? Abortion made legal. What? How prosperous is our nation today? David looked at the wicked and he was blown away. How can this be? The wicked aren't supposed to prosper in the land. Not in the promised land. And he became envious. And it's easy for us to become envious when we look at wicked, evil people. I mean, sometimes it looks like, man, they got it all going for them. Got a nice house, car, boat, envy. TV, movies, the media, man, they add to this hype. I mean, there's not a lot of good that comes out of Hollywood. You know that? Hollyweird. Very strange. Yet they're all beautiful. Well, after their photos are all touched up and all after they're all made up and hair and... They don't wake up with bad breath. Everything's wonderful. It's all wonderful. I watch TV and look. People who drink are not fat, drunken slobs. Okay, none of them, ever. They don't get drunk and become stupid. Ever. They're all young and hip and cool. Romance. Oh, man. No broken hearts, no broken lives. If it doesn't work out, man, there's a new busload coming. It's all wonderful. Man, don't buy in. Don't buy in. It's a totally different perspective on the good life. The good life is with the Lord. Don't fret. Don't be envious. They got a short time. They best enjoy it while they got it. Because they've got a short time. Don't be envious. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the new day. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. This is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. Yeah, I read it when I was a baby Christian. And I went, wow. And it still stuck with me. And I still say, wow. Trust in the Lord. Man, it's hard. Isn't it hard to trust? Isn't it? Well, it is for me, okay. It's hard to trust in the Lord. When I look around and I see so much insanity going on in the world. Oh, wait. Stop that. Don't fret at what you're looking at down here. Look up here. Oh, wow, the view's a lot different up here. Trust in the Lord. Our problem oftentimes is that we're looking down here on the horizontal, and it causes us to fret. We can't do anything about what the world's doing. You realize that? You have people in Washington that are representing you? Hey, they did good. Our guys did good. We can't do anything about what other people are doing, but we can. We are responsible for what we do and how we respond. And we're told to trust in the Lord and do good. Do the things that the Lord wants us to do. Oftentimes, right now, I'm so frustrated. You know I'm so frustrated because I tell you every week how frustrated I am. And then there's a whole 7 days and things just get worse from the last time. Do you know that we gave $20.3 million to bring Hamas to the United States for immigration? Oh, now how many of you want to vote for that? It's never mind. I digress. Oh, don't fret over evildoers. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Now, this is important. Dwell where? In the land. Where is that? Wherever the Lord has you planted. For David, it was there in Israel, in the land of promise. Dwell in the land of promise. But look, God's promises are valid no matter where you live. He's going to bless those who follow him. Dwell in the land. Blossom where the Lord plants you. Trust in him and feed on his faithfulness. The people in the land might not be faithful. You can't feed on their faithfulness, but you can feed on the Lord's faithfulness because he alone is faithful and true. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight? It means to derive, the word delight, to derive great pleasure from. You're feeding on the Lord. That's pleasurable. We derive pleasure from him. We look around at the world. Man, the world is going to steal your joy. Just suck it right out of you. For me, it's always Wednesday that I go through the different newsletters that I get, and I really should find a different time to do it because it steals my joy. I might not find any delight in the things of the world, but I find delight, great joy in the Lord. Doesn't matter how bad things are, how bad they appear. It doesn't matter. And this is why. After it's all over, I'm going to heaven. Trump card. Oh, go to heaven card. Oh, Trump card. Oh, the economy's failing. I don't care. I'm going to heaven. You can't take that away from me. The world cannot take that away from me. Jesus died for my sins. Hallelujah. That is good. I can't delight in all this other stuff, but I can delight in this. My sins have been forgiven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live with Him eternally. He's gone to prepare a place for me. Woo! Man, we might get Pentecostal. Amen. You might. This is a fascinating verse. This is the verse for me. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now look, you name it and claim it. I know you want to. Okay, I'm going to prosper here because He's going to give me what I want. Stop! It's a fascinating verse. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but it goes something. For me, it was like this. I started following Jesus, delighting myself in Him, right? Finding great pleasure in Him. And you know what? My heart started changing. The things that I desired, I no longer desired. And the things I had never desired before, those were the things that I desired. Look. No way. When I'm in college, okay, I put on the party, the senior party. It was awesome. Yeah. I'm sorry I missed it too. Okay. You tell. I got the most uncivil civil engineer award, okay? By the faculty. You asked my classmates, hey, this guy's going to be a preacher in Mississippi? What? You're out of your mind. You're a lunatic. You know what? Yeah, that's what I would have said too. But you know what? The Lord put this desire into my heart. Look, I'm a Californian, an Alaskan, Colorado, Idaho, Western United States. You got that? Geography majors? Okay. Western U.S. I've always been a Southerner. I'm from Southern California. And I had this, people would go, I'm going to go to Bible college, I'm called to ministry. What? This is weird. I thought drugs were a trip. Okay? This was really, really weird. And people would go, you're going to Bible college? Yeah. What are you going to do after? I don't know. Maybe we'll just go down and plant a church in Mississippi. And then laugh. They go, you're so funny. That was the desire of my heart. Where did that come from? It comes from delighting yourself in Him. And He changes your heart. And He changes your desires. And then there you are. You're desiring the very thing that He wants. And His will is being done in your life. And then you get all the very thing I wanted. Oh, man, it's so much better than a brand new Beamer. I'm sure it is. We're told to commit our way to the Lord. Commit means to roll it over, to lay it upon, to cast it, to place it. Oh. Commit your way. Take your way and place it on the Lord. Take your way. Give it to Him. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Feed upon His faithfulness. When we delight in Him, when we commit our ways to Him, He is glorified in our lives. And His will's done. Oh. And when we do those things, then we can rest in Him. Otherwise, we're frantic, we're fretting, we're getting crazy. We rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. How many are good with patience? I heard this girl on CSN the other day, and she said, she called up, and they said, "We only have a few minutes." That means this is the last caller. She said, "Well, real quick, can you tell me how to get my prayers answered really, really quick?" And the guy was so good. It wasn't Mike Kessler, it was Leo. Yeah, Leo said, "Yeah, just pray God's will. I hope that helped. God bless you." That was great. Wait patiently for Him. "Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." Fret! Again, twice in these two verses, once in the first verse, three times in eight verses. What do you think God's trying to tell us? Do not fret! Why? Because we are so apt to. Fretting makes us worry, gets us upset, angry. And the next thing that can come would be wrath. Now, this is really hard for me. Because you know I'm angry. I sat down, I was talking to my boys last night. I'm watching the news. I go, "What's wrong, Dad?" "He signed that stinking bill." "Well, what's wrong?" "Boys, this is going to affect you for the rest of your life. You're going to pay for this." My boys were angry. "That's not fair." No, it's not. You get angry, but the Word of God tells us to be angry, but sin not. Look, there is such a thing as righteous indignation. We see Jesus angry at hypocrisy, angry with injustice, taking advantage. The problem with anger is that it can lead to wrath. Dane, come on, give it to me. James 1:20. Man, you must be tired, brother. "The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Our wrath isn't going to get it done. And that's why we have to check our anger, that we don't let anger, even if it is righteous indignation, flow on over to wrath. Be angry, but sin not. don't fret. It only causes harm. Remember, the Lord is in charge. Delight yourself in the Lord. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Look, Jesus quoted from this Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:5. The meek shall inherit the earth. The wicked will be cut off no more. The meek shall inherit the earth. God's way is so different from ours, isn't it? Because we think the strong, the mighty, they're the ones that are going to prevail. Right is right, and whoever has the best right is right. And the other guy's just left. But it's contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. We're not to take vengeance. We're to wait on the Lord. Now, the meek, I confuse meekness with weakness. Not the same thing. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly and meek, or mild. And you will find rest for your souls. Jesus, meek. Weak? Whoa. Let's see. He spoke and all creation leapt forth. Weak? Not at all. My Funkin' Wagnalls. It's my favorite. It defines meekness as having a patient, gentle disposition. It's being submissive or compliant. It's being compassionate and kind. It sounds just... I looked and there was a picture of you there, Ed. You know, to me, as I was reading it, patience, gentleness. Oh. The fruit of the Spirit. Meekness looks a lot like the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. Oh, I forgot goodness in there. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what meekness looks like. Like the fruit of the Spirit. We want to take the world by force. When we do that, we're doing the same that the wicked want to do. We're just getting sucked into the way of the world. We're told to wait on the Lord, for the meek shall inherit the earth. Tough one for me. Now we continue to look at contrast here. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. I'll tear you off. But the Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Whoa. How terrifying would that be? to have the Lord laughing at you as a fool. Whoa. Not good at all. Whoa. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Oh, the wicked, they're plotting to kill the righteous. Jesus said, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Their own plots, their own plans, their own weapons are against them because they're against God. Hey, they plot, they try to persecute, and they try to kill God's people. And in this world, they're sometimes successful. But precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And all they're doing is hastening the time for them to be in the presence of the Lord. Because ultimately, they win. Hey, a little bit of prosperity theology here for you. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Hey, the Lord's going to give you what you need. The little that he gives you, that's all you need. Don't be envious. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. I would rather have a little with the Lord than a lot and be separated from him. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish. Look, the righteous are forever. The wicked, just like a puff of smoke. I mean, it's there and then it's gone. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. Now, I was wondering, does this apply to our current financial crisis? Okay, do you know who Kelsey Grammer is? You know who Kelsey Grammer is? Frasier Crane. Okay. Blessed are you that don't know who Frasier Crane is. Cheers, Frasier. Oh, you know him? Oh, cease from anger. Does anybody not know so I can say, blessed are you? Blessed are you, brother. Yes. Good for you. A TV personality, right? An actor. I don't really care much about what this man says. I've heard him before. Drunk, busted, drugs, busted. This is what this man says, okay? The economic stimulus bill rewards evildoers, among whom are people who did not pay their mortgages. What? The wicked borrows and does not... Did you read the Psalms? Donkeys have spoken before. Thank you. Good point, Belinda. This scares me. The wicked borrows and does not. Hey, who are we borrowing all this money from? Wait. You can't borrow money you ain't got, okay? I understand this principle from balancing my checkbook. Okay? Print more. Okay, so we're borrowing money that we don't have. How are we going to pay it back? We don't have to. We don't have to. Very good, because the wicked borrows and does not repay. But the righteous shows mercy and gives and gives and gives. Oh, I've lost it. I have. Economics 101. I don't know. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. That means they're laid out. You ever see those dance feet? Did I go too far? They're laid out so you know where to go, right? You won't find me on Dancing with the Stars, okay? Thank you, Lord, for that. They're ordered. It means that they're laid out, they're safe, and they're secure. The path that the Lord has given you to walk. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to stumble, obviously. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Hey, there are mountains and there's valleys. There's twists and turns. There's the smooth, straight road. There's good times and there's hard times. And there's times that you might stumble and fall. But the Lord isn't going to leave you there. Amen. Man, I got so many scrapes on my knees, it's embarrassing. I can't wear shorts in front of you anymore. Oh, man, that guy stumbled. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord lifts him up with his hand. It's the Lord that's carrying us. The Lord that has us. David says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. This verse flips me out. It just really does, okay? Because I don't know if David is saying, this is what I saw in my life, or if God's saying, hey, this is how it is, kids. When during Katrina, when we went to your house, you remember Fox News, watching that, CNN, watching that. Oh, the coast, that's just right up the street from me. Oh! Went to Kevin and Betty's house up in Atlanta. And I went to bed that night. And I cried. Prayed with Amy. I think we've lost everything. And I thought of this verse. And I thought, ooh, I'm going to see. Because I had already known about this verse. I'm going to see if it's true. I don't know. After Katrina, we had people from all over the nation descend down here upon us, offering help. A lot of people lost a lot of stuff. But I got to tell you, I don't personally know of any saint who went begging. I talked to a lady that we helped. I'm working on this, and I'm going, man, I don't know of any. I don't know of any of the saints that were begging for help. They needed help. Some came and asked for some stuff, but it was there. They didn't have to beg. I mean, it was out in the parking lot. Somebody said to me, should we put a guard out here? It's like, why? Well, what if they steal it? They can't. You can't steal what we're giving away. This lady came in, and I said, oh, maybe you can help me. I'm looking at this verse here, and I'm trying to work it out in my mind. I said, David says, I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. Remember after Katrina, and I'm talking to her, and I said, look, your church, it was destroyed. And people in your church that you know, do you know any of them that had to beg? She said, no, you guys found us. I said, but there's got to be somebody that had to beg. I don't know of any. I said, you know, I don't know. Do you know? Have you seen the righteous forsaken? I haven't. You lost everything. You didn't beg. People came to your place and wanted to help you with the business. And I saw them. They came from Washington. Came from everywhere. People came and rebuilt your house. I don't. It's God's word. This is what God's word says. Trust in the Lord. I've never seen it. Thank you, Jesus. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. That's the righteous man. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice. Oh, he loves mercy more, okay? We always want justice for the other guys and mercy for us. And does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the defendants, yeah, call them defendants. But the defendants of the wicked, the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The contrast between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous dwell forever. The wicked, they're cut off. But in between those two is an invitation. Verse 27. Depart from evil and do good and live forevermore. If you're a saint, and you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, leave that behind. It's called repenting. Turn from it. Leave it back there. Get away. Take your hands off of it. If you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord, the difference between the righteous and the wicked is simply this. Very simple. One trusts in the Lord. One doesn't. Get your hands off that other stuff. Trust in the Lord. It's the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Repentance. Departing from evil. Trusting in the Lord. Living forever or dying forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. None of his steps shall slide because he has hidden God's law in his heart. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. When you hide God's word in your heart, hey, it's going to help you walk the walk. It's not only going to help you walk the walk, it's going to help you talk the talk. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God's word, hide it in your heart. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spread himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. Look, the righteous are going to live forever. The wicked are going to be cut off. Have you figured this out by now? But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Our salvation is from God. From God, because he sent a son to die for our sins, to go to the cross for us. It's not what we have done. It's what Jesus did for us. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. This is the hinge that eternity swings on. Trust in the Lord. It's the difference between heaven and hell. Trust in the Lord. Do you trust him? Do you trust him to forgive your sins? Do you trust him with your eternity? Do you trust him that when you die, that he's going to raise you up and gather you to himself? That's some heavy trust. Do you trust him today? While you're breathing? I think it's sometimes kind of easier for us to trust that far off thing than it is to trust him in the midst of just our daily life when things look so crazy, out of whack. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him.